Let's start out with a good verse today at this healing school. Let's start out with Proverbs 18:21. I want to show you something here. As they're looking us up, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the privilege to know you as my Lord and my God and my Savior. And Lord, I trust that everybody here knows you as Lord and Savior. And before the day's over, Lord, I want them to know you as healer. I want them to know that just like I did, I received you as my healer years ago. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that all these years you've kept me now by faith and total health, and ask you to bless everything we do here today. And Lord, every person that comes here that needs a healing or whatever their need is today, I ask you to meet their need, because you are the one that meets all of our needs. And we praise you and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 18:21 in the NLT says, those who love to talk will experience the consequences, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. Who would ever dream? Now let's put that up there, Dave, in the King James, and let's look at that in the King James. I want you to see, it's good in both of them. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Now, you know, the average person today does not believe that there's going to be a result or a consequence of what they say. You know, if they did, you wouldn't hear them making statements like, what have you been doing today? Well, it's 104 degrees outside and I'm staying in under the air conditioner doing as little as possible. Just like the other day on the radio. I'm driving in, I'd been working. Of course, that day I was amazed that I had a lightning strike. The enemy obviously doesn't like me. I am glad my name is known in hell. And I trust that when the devil mentions my name, I hope and pray that total terror comes upon every demon that he assigns to come to my house. Isn't that what you want? If the devil says, I want you to go by her house. Oh, my land. What is your name, young lady?
Sabi.
I want you to go by Sabi's house today. I want the devil, when that's mentioned, I want that little demon. He said, no, please, Lord, please, Master, don't let me go by her house. Please, anybody's house, not hers. That's the way every Christian should be known. When the devil talks about one of us, they should be sheer terror in the heart, if a demon has a heart. He may not even have one. But there should be sheer terror in them whenever our name is mentioned. They should be afraid of us. They should not want to even think about coming to our house. I mean, if they start to turn into our house and there's two or three of them walking down the sidewalk out there, they're walking through dry places looking for a house, the scripture says in Matthew 12. Whenever they say, let's go over here, and they turn in, they see, there's Thurman Scrivener's mailbox. Ooh, we don't want to go up there. We don't want nothing to do with that guy. Every one of you should be that kind of fear in the enemy whenever he even thinks about attacking one of God's children. But this scripture right here literally says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Let me ask you a question. If you happen to go to a hospital and, or say you get to feeling bad. Now this is what Christians do. I mean, I used to do this, but no more. Whenever a Christian has something come upon them, some kind of pain or sickness or whatever, the average Christian will not even think about, what have I done wrong that's not pleasing God? Most Christians don't believe God is the one who put sickness on us. So they just don't think he's the one. And so they never dream of repenting of sin when sickness comes upon you. We go to the doctor. The doctor tells us you have this problem. Now, you don't run into many doctors, a few, but you don't run into many doctors that when you go to the doctor, he says, you know, maybe we need to look at the spiritual side of your problem here. And are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Well, let's look at the spiritual side. Do you have any sin in your life or any unforgiveness or anything? Well, yes, I got this. My mother, I just can't stand to be around her. Well, what do you think's wrong with you? Well, I believe I have some kind of knots in my left breast. They might be breast cancer, I don't know. Well, now see, if that doctor knew that any time a woman has an unforgiveness toward a female member in her family, that's exactly where she will be attacked, in her left breast, with breast cancer. Now then, if she has breast cancer in the right breast, she'll have an unforgiveness toward just a female acquaintance. I'd just like to give you an example. When we say death and life's in the power of the tongue here, we were out in Hobbs, New Mexico a year or so ago, and there was a lady about 70 years old, looked like. I don't know how old she was. I didn't ask her, but looked like she was about 70. When she came up, I said, "Ma'am, what is wrong with you?" And she was kind of hobbling a little bit, and she said, "I have an excruciating pain in my right hip and my right leg, all the way down my right leg." Said, I can't sleep at night. I have terrible problems with this. I said, "How long have you had it?" She said, "About 12 years. Now, she'd been suffering with this pain in her right side, in her right hip and her right leg for 12 years. And Cheryl, my wife, immediately looked at her and says, "Ma'am, do you have unforgiveness toward your husband?" Now, why could she ask a statement like that? Number one, the problem is on her right side, which means it's male. That's just the way it is. We've learned this from years of experience in the healing ministry. So whenever Cheryl asks, "Do you have unforgiveness toward your husband or a man?" immediately the woman standing by her side, which was her daughter, which looked like she was about 50 maybe, somewhere along in there, she says, "Cheryl, did you hit Mama right between the eyes? Mama has gross unforgiveness towards Daddy, but she really has more unforgiveness toward Daddy's brother." And I said, "Well, ma'am, that's why you have this problem in your right side." She said, "You mean because I've been holding a grudge against my brother-in-law and my husband? What's causing this?" I said, "It's just a demon. A demon." Well, now the average Christian would say, "This guy's crazy." And if you're talking to a PhD down at the seminary, the first thing he's going to tell you, a Christian cannot have a demon. But I'm going to tell you, he's wrong. He's wrong. So anyway, she said, "What do I need to do?" I said, "Well, number one, you have to forgive." In fact, life and death in the power of the tongue. But I want to take you to one of the scriptures in Mark 11, 25 and 26. And I want to show you the importance of forgiving someone. Yes, sir.
Is it the same with men that have problems on the right side?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. That's right. Yeah, yep, absolutely. Men or women. Yeah, except for a stroke. The only time it's a problem is a stroke is because, as a doctor, the right side of the brain controls which side of the body? The left. That's right. Yeah. And the left brain controls the right side of the body. So if it's stroke and it's paralyzed the right side of the body, it comes from the brain, which means you got a problem with a female. Now, if it's the right side, then it controls the left side, and you got a problem with a male, a man. But anyway, when we look at these things, we see what happens here. When we go to Mark 11, 25 and 26, I want to show you under the new covenant the importance of forgiving. Now, if people really believed God's word, there would be no unforgiveness in the church. Now then, you as a church member or believer in Jesus, how many people in here have ever had any unforgiveness towards anybody? Every one of us, see? So that's before I knew. That's why I held up both hands, because until I knew the importance of walking in love, it wasn't no problem to say, "Well, Pat done me wrong last. She said something last night I didn't like, so I just ain't never going to talk to her again. I don't care what she does." It's easy to do that, isn't it, Pat? Sure it is. But after you learn, it don't matter what they do to you. I mean, they can take you down, drag you through the mud, slap you in the face, put mud in your mouth and everything else. You get up and say, "I forgive you. I ain't going there no more. I ain't going to walk in that nonsense. It ain't worth it." But anyway, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire." Verse 25. "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, this is the next verse. Look at verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses or your sins. Now then, this woman that we was talking about out there in New Mexico, which had this problem with her right hip and her right leg, I said, you have to forgive. If you don't forgive, God will not forgive you your sins. You can ask him, you can do anything, but until you forgive, he's not going to forgive yours. I said, in fact, I'm going to tell you that God has sent a tormenting spirit to torment you. That's where this has come from. The Lord has sent a tormenting spirit to torment you. And I said, until you forgive, that tormenting spirit will never go away. But I said, the minute you forgive, then I said, we can pray for you, and the Lord will take that tormenting spirit away. She said, I ain't never heard nothing like this in my life. But she said, the scripture does say that I have to forgive. That's pretty clear, isn't it? If you don't forgive, what's he going to do to you? He's not going to forgive you your sins. Is that what he said? Did y'all believe God meant what he said in this book? I do. Okay. So she said, okay, Lord, I forgive my husband. I will love him. I said, okay, you really mean that? She said, yes. I said, now how about your brother-in-law? Oh, she said, do I have to go tell him? I said, you know, ma'am, I think it would really, really make the Lord happy with you if you would say, when I get back home, I'm going to walk up to Leroy. I'm going to put my hand on Leroy's shoulder. I'm going to say, Leroy, Jesus commanded me to love you. I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to love you. And you can talk evil about me. You can do anything you want to. But I'm going to love you because Jesus commanded me to do that. I said, will you do that? She said, yes. And the minute she said that, she said, oh. I said, what's wrong? She said, my pain just left. My pain just left. She's walking. She's throwing her leg. She said, it's gone. I said, gee whiz, I didn't even get to pray for you. The Lord was sitting there waiting to hear her do what he said. Now, who's the healer? Jesus. Who's the deliverer? Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Leave a Jesus Trail, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.